listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
We're going to worship the Lord or look into the Word of God here this morning. So take your Bibles. I wanted you to turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 9. And I'm going to take a look back. To a verse that I shared with you earlier in this month. I want to revisit that verse this morning. And it's found in this 9th chapter, the 6th verse of the book of Isaiah. Here's what the scripture says at this particular point in time. For to us, a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Earlier this month, I opened up this passage of Scripture to you, and we talked about the three forms of peace. You may remember, you may not, but I do want to just quickly review. We talked about the fact there is peace with God, there is peace from God, and then I talked to you about the peace of God. You may remember that. If you don't, check back to some of the earlier messages on the website, and you can review that very same message. But today, I want to deal with the government part of that passage of Scripture. I wonder, have you ever heard people quote Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6 and basically skip over that part which has to do with government? It would go something like this: For to us a child is born, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. See, we just skip over that government part, and it's understandable because we are all eager to get to that part which speaks most directly to our hearts. That being Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. But in our haste, it's easy to overlook the importance of this phrase right before those credible names mentioned. And that phrase is simply this: and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Can I say this morning that government is incredibly important, not only in our lives, but in the world in which we live? Why is it so important? I'm glad you asked that question, because I'm going to try to help you understand why government is so important. It's important because bad government brings with it chaos and confusion. Good government brings peace and well-being. And when this announcement was made by Isaiah, it was good news to Israel. It was good news because in that day, things were coming apart for that little nation, country, or a people known as Israel. Let me say, human government, at best, is flawed and failing. Even in our country, I think a lot of you would agree, the system is broken. And we need to be praying for our country. The purposes set out in the Constitution are not always being accomplished. So in all human government, you've got to remember, motives are suspect and hearts are sinful. Instead of a constantly improving society, we have a continually deteriorating people. And if the sad answer to what's wrong with human government is almost everything, we desperately need an answer to who's going to fix that. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Who's going to fix that? Who's going to fix the dilemma that we find ourselves in? That answer is found in this one verse of Scripture written thousands of years ago. It prophesied two advents or two comings. They include Jesus' first coming and his second coming. So I want you to hear me out this morning as we talk about what is the answer to this world's ailments. I think it's found and wrapped up in this short piece of Scripture that says, "And the government shall be upon his shoulder." So we have these two advents, and I want you to clearly understand the Christian church believes strongly in these two advents. Advent simply means comings. Jesus' first coming and his second coming. The first coming has already happened. And when it happened, the phrase, "the government shall be upon his shoulder," that phrase was being applied. So for us as Christians, we need a very good understanding of what happened at Jesus' first coming in order to fully understand his second coming. His second coming, all of that which it entails, is predicated upon his first coming. And just 7 days ago, you and I celebrated what we call Christmas, or the first advent, or Jesus' first coming. And what was represented in that first coming sets the stage, my friend, for what is going to happen relative to his second coming. And I must say, his second coming is going to be just as real as his first coming. Got to know that. So let's take a look at this. Let's look at, first of all, Jesus' first advent or his first coming. And let's understand what happened when Jesus came and left heaven. By the way, you got to know that. He left heaven. He just didn't start his origins in a manger. He left heaven and came to earth. You get that picture? He left heaven, came to this earth. In so doing, that was his first coming. So let's look at it. When Jesus came as a baby 2,000 years ago, that was a game-changer occurrence. Big deal. Big, big deal. It was the greatest event the human population ever could experience. The Son of God came, and he came to transform lives. Wow, it doesn't get a whole lot better than that, church. I want you to understand that when God works, he always works from the inside out. He doesn't fix the outside and somehow hope that the inside gets fixed. God works from the inside out. He fixes us inside, and when he fixes us inside, we have an outflow of God's kingdom wherever we touch humanity. I got to understand that. That's how it works. He came to be our Savior. What does that mean? He is the Redeemer of our life from sin and its consequences. So when he became your Savior, he redeemed you from sin and whatever that effect has on our life. Secondly, he came to be our Lord. By the way, let me explain that. That means that Jesus becomes the owner of our life. We are not our own. That's what the Bible says. We have been bought with a price, which is the precious blood of Jesus. Come on, church. Do you realize you are not your own? You don't belong to yourself. You belong to Jesus. You got to get that information registered in your thinking, because when you think as a believer or a Christian, a follower of Christ, that's got to have a major shift in your way of living. And thirdly, he came to be our king. That is, the ruler over our will. Because if we were left to ourselves, we would self-destruct. Just the way it works. You can't have two wills, your will and God's will. And by the way, these are on a collision course. So the best way for you to have peace in your life is to submit to God's will in your life. How many have found that to be true? You're in major, major conflict if you are dealing with your will and trying to reconcile your will with God's will. And I'm here to tell you, these don't mix well. They're like oil and water. They just don't mix. So as believers, we have to see that God's way is the way of his kingdom. And I want to introduce that word this morning. God's kingdom. The best way to understand that is his kingdom or his rule within us. We as believers, whether you realize it or not, we have what I would like to call dual citizenship. We are potentially citizens of the country that we live in. There was a day that I was born in the country of Canada. So when I was born in Canada, I automatically became a citizen of that country. But obviously, I'm not in Canada. I'm here in the United States. So there came a point in time in the month of August, 1988, that Sharon and I stood before a judge with probably 200 to 300 other people, and we were sworn in as citizens of the United States of America. On a human level, I possess two citizenships. I'm a dual citizen. I'm a citizen of Canada. They recognize my Canadian citizenship. But on that day, the United States recognized me as a citizen of this country. So humanly speaking, I have two citizenships. Most of you have single citizenship. That is, you are citizens of the United States of America, largely because you were born in this country. Others of you are in process, much like my citizenship. So we have that dynamic going. But that's only an earthly acquaintance. There is also, when you became a born-again Christian, you became a citizen of God's kingdom. And I might say here this morning, that citizenship is a superior citizenship to the country to which we align ourselves with. Did you hear what I just said? Being a citizen of the kingdom of God is a superior citizenship than whatever country we're connected to. And I'm going to tell you why that's a superior citizenship. That's a superior citizenship, first of all, because it's an eternal citizenship. That is, it has no ending. And secondly, we become part of the God of this universe's purpose by aligning with his kingdom. So let me summarize by saying, as redeemed people, we are a part of a new and better kingdom, and we are citizens of that kingdom. But that citizenship, I might add, drives us to live our lives to a different standard. How can I explain that? When we became citizens of the United States, we raised our right hand to solemnly declare that we would live our lives in accordance with the Constitution of the United States of America. So if you're going to live in this country, you got to play by the rules of this country. Do you understand what I'm saying? But when you become a believer and you submit your life to Jesus, we have a new standard whereby we live our lives. We don't do whatever crosses our brain or move wherever our hearts take us. We align ourselves to God's standard, which is his word. This standard has been in existence for all mankind. How many know that this book, the Bible, is the standard whereby we live our lives? And so we conform to the word of God and we live by the standard of God's word. That standard is the standard of God's kingdom. And so we're forever in change. There's a lot of change going on in our life because we're not quite there yet. Anybody figure that one out? And so because we're not where we need to be, God requires a lot of change of us. And he doesn't leave us to ourselves. He helps us. Jesus comes along and the Holy Spirit guides us and changes us from one understanding to another understanding to another understanding. The scripture puts it this way: we are being changed from glory to glory in his name. All right? So that means we see that in Jesus' first coming, we see three dimensions. That is, Jesus as our Savior, the Redeemer of our life. We see him as our Lord, that is, he owns everything, and anything we touch belongs to him. Number three, we submit to his kingship, his rule over our life. This all took effect when you received the child born in Bethlehem as God's provision for your sin. All that happened in the first coming. Or the first advent. But Isaiah also tells us that Jesus is going to come again. And I'm here to tell you, he is going to come again. The Bible makes that very, very clear. And I'm here to say we're closer today to the second coming of Jesus than the church has ever been. We're very close to the coming of Jesus. And when he comes, this time, he's going to reign in power. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that this morning, because that will be the second advent or the second coming of Jesus. By the way, Jesus himself promised that he would come again. He did so on several occasions in the Gospels. So let's look at Jesus' second coming or his second advent. And as children of God, we should eagerly be anticipating this second coming or advent. It's all about advancing his kingdom. And I need to say, this is not another kingdom. It's just more of the same kingdom that Jesus introduced 2,000 years ago. It is the same kingdom of God that we were introduced to at conversion. We just get to experience more of this kingdom when he comes. That's how it works. And when Jesus returns to the planet, he will establish a kingdom of permanence, promise, a kingdom of perfection, and a kingdom of power. That's what's going to happen when he comes in. The Bible says and speaks to us of him coming on a white horse. I want you to know that isn't a recreational event. That's a demonstration of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords coming in all of his glory. The kingdom, when we talk about the kingdom, we talk about the fact that this government will be upon his shoulder in full measure. It's no wonder that Paul the Apostle calls this our blessed hope in Titus chapter 2. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 7, we're told, listen carefully, the zeal of the Lord will do this. God will not bring about this kingdom just because he can, and that is with his ability, or even because he said he would do that, and that goes to his integrity. How many know when God says he's going to do something, he's going to do it? So you know his integrity is at stake. And when God says he's going to do it, he's going to do it. But it's not even that. Look what the scripture says. God tells us that his most foundational attribute, which will bring about his government, is his zeal. The zeal of the Lord. Don't overlook this little phrase found in the book of Isaiah. This short phrase is so, so important as we examine the second coming of Jesus. This goes to the fact that he cares with a holy passion about doing it. Now we use this term shoulder in a lot of different ways. Scripture says this, that his kingdom will be on his shoulder. When we use the term shoulder, We use it many times to describe that of carrying a weight. When you ask someone to put their shoulder into something, you're calling for an extra effort. If your vehicle is stuck and you want to unstuck it, if I can use that phrase, you're asking for your friends to come. Come on, give me a shoulder, give me a push. And when we put our efforts together, we're moving that vehicle from an unstuck position. You're calling for an extra effort. A shoulder to lean on simply implies physical, it implies emotional support. And if you don't think we can shoulder that, it means it is just too much for us. But I want you to know nothing, absolutely nothing, is too much for our God. And when you think of what Jesus is going to accomplish by putting this world right side up when he returns yet a second time, it's nothing more than amazing. Not only will Jesus completely shoulder the government of his kingdom, he will do it with permanence. He will do it with promise. He will do it with perfection. And I want you to know, he'll do it with power. He'll do it with absolute authority, sovereignty, and glory to spare. Jesus is capable of doing it in that manner. And this is the second advent that we are preparing for as a church and living our lives for. When we live our lives out, can I say, in 2024, and as you dive into God's word, you're going to be asking the Lord for change in your life so you can be a better representation and want to prepare for the coming of the Lord. You gotta set your mind and your heart to the winds of that spirit rather than being taken up with the wind and the spirit of the age in which we live in. And that's easy to do. But we're preparing ourselves for the second advent of the Lord and for the establishment of God's kingdom finally. And it all started. It took on meaning when Jesus came the very first time, but it does not end there. There's more to come. How many know that? There's more to come. The baby born in Bethlehem will come again as King of Kings. And this time, the government will be forever. And finally, upon his shoulder. Let me wrap this up by saying, you and I need to wholly embrace the Lord today and stay the course. Don't give up. As you begin 2024 and you take your reading passion or paper, and with passion, you're going to start reading tomorrow. You're going to set a tone for this entire year in your life. It's going to be a game changer as you approach this new year. So I guess you have to ask yourself a few questions, and one of those would be, what are some of the things you need Jesus to shoulder in your life today to help you to get to where you need to be? Because he's more than capable of bearing your load. In this next year, there's going to be, I think, a release of season 4 in the Chosen series. I love that series because it makes so real Jesus' intentions, God's intentions. It has a way of shifting us out of our earthiness and connecting us to a spiritual dynamic that sometimes we lose sight of. And when that series comes available to us, I want us to continue to share the insights of Jesus' life through that series. It's powerful. But all the while, you and I are needing to gain traction and stay the course for the call that God put on our life, for the call that God put on your family, and for the call that God puts on this church to represent the King. Because he's coming. He's coming again. Just as certain as he came the first time, the Bible makes it very clear that he's coming a second time. And by the way, it also says something to this effect: when you least expect it, he'll show up. It was kind of the mode of action in the series Chosen. When the disciples least expected him, he showed up. And so we live our lives in that way. Jesus tells a story about the 10 virgins and how they needed to prepare their lamps. It's a depiction of staying ready. Some in their wise pursuits kept oil available for their lamps. Some got taken up in the cares of this life and became a little irresponsible. And when the time came, they were not prepared. I want us as a church, individually and as family groups and as a corporate group, to be well prepared. Because when he comes, he's going to come with great might and power, and his government will be on his shoulder, and he's most capable of running the planet the way it's supposed to be run. How many can believe for such a day? Stand to your feet with me this morning. Can we yield ourselves in a fresh way to start this year out of the gate with some energy for the things of God? I kind of feel that way. I kind of feel it's time for us just to take this bull by the horns and set ourselves in a direction that will be well-pleasing to God and it'll be fruitful for our lives. We already prayed in this place for healing to come, for well-being to be your portion. I would like for us this morning to raise our sights and identify with Jesus in a new way, that we can be counted upon by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that we will be ready and that we'll live our lives now today in such a manner that we're yielding and leaning into His government for His support and His strength every day of our lives. Could you just say, that's me this morning, and lift your hands. I want to pray for this church that as we start 2024 tomorrow at midnight tonight, that we're going to be ready. We're not going to be asleep at the wheel. It's not going to surprise us like it surprised so many people at His first coming. We're going to be a people ready for His second coming. And we're going to live our lives not only this up and coming year that way, but we'll live our lives from here on out. Let's pray. Jesus, You arrested our souls at salvation. You took over our life by means of ownership. And we declare that You are the Lord of our life. And today, Lord, we are embracing the fact that You are our King. And our citizenship is in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of God. And so from this day forth, Lord, we're yielding our lives to embrace You, Your kingdom, and the fullness of that kingdom when You yet come. Who knows, Lord? It could be 2024. Whatever it is, Lord, we will say here and now that we want to be and we choose to be citizens of Your kingdom. Work Your purposes through us as we yield our lives to these eternal values found in Your word. And when we open up Your scriptures for 52 weeks, it's going to, on a daily basis, change our perspective, because You have called us into a new life. The old we have walked away from. It's in the past. This new life that You are giving us, Lord, we embrace it on a daily basis. And let Your word bring change to us as we prepare ourselves for the fullness of Your coming yet the second time. We pray this in Your powerful name. Holy Spirit may be speaking to you today of where you are in the journey. And the Holy Spirit will be calling you into a fuller dynamic of that walk. If the Holy Spirit won't let you leave today until you finalize some business with God, I want to encourage you to come and kind of kneel down at this altar and take care of business before the new year comes, as you set your sails yet in a new way to the purpose of God. So we're going to dismiss you this morning, but if you would like to come and make some adjustments in the journey, there will be others that will be praying with you and for you. But if you must go, God bless you. What a wonderful 2023 we've had, but 2024 is going to be even better. Can you say amen to that? Come on, put your hands together as we trust the Lord. God bless you. Go in the name of the Lord.
listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.